Although many of us strive to be the best dad we can be, many physicians struggle with finding balance between their life at home and their life at work. This is the Imperfect Dad MD podcast, the show where we discuss topics involving our minds, bodies, beliefs, relationships at home, and upping our game with our business practices and financial knowledge to better improve our role as dad in the lives of those around us. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, physician, husband, father to two boys, and self-proclaimed imperfect dad. Join me as I learn to raise my own imperfections within all these topics. Now, let's get to today's discussion. Hello and welcome to the Imperfect Dad MD podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, and this is part three of a four-part series on the book Blue Zones by Dan Buettner. And today we're going to be talking about the blue zones of Okinawa and Loma Linda here in the United States. Now, before we get into today's topic, let's hear from this week's sponsor. And let's be honest, it's not a secret that doctors have a hard time creating a professional-looking digital presence. Having a dynamic website ranking in Google or growing your volume of patient reviews are not easy tasks. We're too busy to figure it out on our own. And let's be honest, we are too busy to figure this out on our own sometimes. Over the last 20 years, Advice Media has developed the pyramid of success to help physicians do just this. Do you want to attract more patients, generate more calls and emails, enhance your brand awareness, protect your online reputation? I'm sure you want to do all those things, but even if you want to do one of those things, you want to schedule a demo with Advice Media to learn how. On top of that, you will receive a $60 Amazon gift card just for chatting with them, just doing that 30-minute consult with them, guys. So 3 in 5 patients will choose one provider over another because of a strong online presence. Are you making sure you're the one who stands out? Don't delay booking your demo today. Go to drpodcastnetwork.com/advicemedia. That's drpodcastnetwork.com/advicemedia, and I will leave that in the show notes, guys. Okay, so the first place I would like to discuss today is Okinawa. And if you're not familiar with Okinawa, it is an island considered to be off the coast of Japan, but many, many miles off the coast of Japan. And it's been controlled by the Chinese, the Japanese, and other types of people. But it's constantly been referred to as the land of the immortals. And why it's been referred to that, I don't know. Maybe they're noticing that people who have lived there in past generations have lived longer, they've been healthier, and that's why it earned this reputation. But it continues to keep this reputation. About 5 of every 10,000 people there are centenarians. At least that was back in 2008. Now, that number has probably changed, and that is because since they started the book, Okinawa's downtown has started to become more westernized or Americanized or whatever terminology you want to use. And that means that they're getting more fast food chains and a lot more ease of life there. And what they are noticing is that the people who are in the younger generations are starting to show similar health problems and similar life expectancy as the people on mainland Japan. And so, again, this is kind of like when you look at places like Sardinia and Nicoya, even although Nicoya has actually done a good job avoiding this, it sounds like, but Sardinia is starting, you're starting to see these changes too, but maybe these are the last of their kind of these people who have lived these specific types of lives, specific types of lifestyles, and there's maybe just not going to be room for this type of life anymore. And so is that bringing all of our life expectancy down, all of this ease of life? It may be. And that's the biggest concern when you look at this book in Blue Zones and what we're doing to ourselves on a daily basis. Now, when you look at living a long life, I know for me, one of my biggest concerns is, well, what if I live a long life, but I don't have good quality of life? What if I get cancer? Or what if I have heart problems? What if I have dementia? I think my biggest fear is dementia, because I don't want to live a long life if I can't recognize anybody around me, right? But when you look at Okinawa specifically, they have about 1/5 the risk of cardiovascular disease in their elderly. They have about 1/4 the risk of prostate cancer in their elderly, and 1/3 risk of dementia. So again, imagine living a longer, healthier life and having less risk for these medical complications. And imagine how much, again, we would save on medical costs in our country if we could avoid these things in our elderly. Now, I think another big fear that people sometimes have about the idea of living long is not being able to be self-sufficient. You know, again, if you're living a long life, but you're eventually put into a retirement home or something like that, and you can't manage things on your own, that's a big fear for a lot of people. And when you look at the United States, only about 15% of centenarians are self-sufficient. But when they were doing this study in Okinawa and they got to meet all these centenarians, 28 of the 32 that they were found were completely independent, still living in their homes, still cooking cooking for themselves, still doing all their daily lives that they had been doing for the past century of their life. So I think that's pretty incredible. And hopefully we can get to that point here in this country. Hopefully I can get to that point. I'm still a little worried that I won't get there, but that's always, you know, a goal to have in life. Now the big question is, how are they getting there? What are the things that they are doing on a daily basis that's bringing them this long life? One of the big things you see in Okinawa, and this is pretty common in Japanese culture and some in other Asian cultures too, is that reverence for your ancestors. And these places all have shrines to their family, and there's a ritual every day that they do to thank their families in the past for what happens during that day. And you know, when I talked last week about Sardinia and how the men live longer, similar to women, it was due to less stress. One of the things that they notice in Okinawa is there, if something bad happens during your day, it was just meant to happen. Nothing you could have done. It just happens. When something good happens, it's because your ancestors made it happen. And so they're daily thanking their ancestors for their good fortune. And so this takes so much stress off their shoulders. You know, if something bad happens, it's nobody else's fault. It's not your fault. It's not some person's fault down the road. It's not your kid's fault. It's just, hey, it was meant to happen. And that's part of life. And you move forward and you get on with it. And just imagine getting to take that type of stress away from your life and how much more joy it would bring to your life on a daily basis. You know, I keep talking about right now, we're living in an apartment. There's a lot of stress here. And sadly, I don't have a shrine in my family right now. Maybe I need to build one really quick to get through those last few weeks in the apartment. Maybe that'll help me. But I think that's really important though, is number one, you have these routines on a daily basis. And again, you see this importance of family, and that really brings your sense of need and purpose into light that keeps driving you on a daily basis. And the people in Okinawa actually have a term for this purpose. It's called your ikigai. And that just means like, what is your reason for getting up in the morning, basically. And all of these people talk about what their ikigai is. And as long as you have that, you have a reason to be there. You have a reason to live. Now, getting past beliefs and getting past those routines, like everywhere we look at, diet and the types of food that people are eating is all very important in terms of the lifelong health of these centenarians. And again, just like we've seen in other places, these centenarians have their own gardens. They eat mainly vegetables. Miso soup's a common thing, a lot of soy in their diet. They drink some sake and things like that, but it's a lot of very basic foods like that. Meat is very rarely eaten, usually on a holiday, and the most common meat that they eat there is pork. And again, like I think I talked about this on a previous episode, they cook the pork down for a while, they skim all the fat off, and it's used in different stews and things like that. And which is interesting, because when you think about maybe Japanese Asian cultures on the coastline or these islands, you'd expect them to be eating a ton of seafood. And they just don't do that on Okinawa. There's a lot more of this pork taken in when they eat it. But again, it's a very small amount and very much, it's usually a side dish. It's usually not a main dish for these people. And so I think that's just such an interesting, again, difference between our current climate of our culture and what you see in Okinawa. Now, there's one thought that the writers of the Book of Blue Zones and the doctors and different scientists they spoke with during this visit to Okinawa had about these gardens. And if you're familiar with your gut microbiome, you know, you have all these bacteria in your gut that help really drive a lot of your own health. And we get that bacteria in our gut by the things we put in our mouth. That's why you don't pick your nose and eat your boogers, at least. Tell your kids that. They still do it. But a lot of your microbiome gets formed by the foods you eat and what you're putting in there. And so when you're eating just very simple, basic foods from the earth and that has been taken care of and they're very natural, they just have these normal bacteria that get into your gut and they help it on a regular basis. When you're eating processed foods or foods with a lot of additives and things like that, it can inhibit the growth of this microbiome or really affect it to where you're not getting the bacteria you need in your gut to give you the health benefits that you need. And eventually, potentially, you see decrease in health benefits or worsening health, things like inflammatory bowel diseases, IBS, possibly colon cancers and those kind of things too. And so again, these basic root vegetables, basic vegetable garden that you're eating on a daily basis is not just helping you from the vitamins and the minerals and these foods, but it is colonizing your gut to give you what you need to have a healthy life. Now, I kind of want to go back to one of my podcasts I did on epigenetics. And if you haven't listened to that, you may not be able to follow what I'm talking about here. So if you haven't listened, go back and listen to it. But so the concept of epigenetics is we have these enzymes and proteins and genes getting turned on and off based on our environment. And one of the interesting things with Okinawa is initially the soil there is not great for growing a lot of fruits and vegetables. And they kind of struggled for a while, and they kind of required a lot of foods coming in and out via boats and things. But eventually there was one person who brought sweet potatoes over to the island. And sweet potatoes were wonderful crops for these people because they grew in the soils, they were easy maintenance, they had tons of nutrients for them, and they ate sweet potatoes every day, like every meal, basically. And they even had greetings where instead of saying hello to your neighbor, they would say, have you gotten enough sweet potatoes today, basically, which is, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, you know, you look at today's world and COVID, instead of me saying, okay, have a good day, it's, hey, I hope you stay healthy, right? You know, you didn't used to say that to your friends or family or patients even, but now we do that. And so, but when you look at that, they had this basically it was kind of like having a famine, and they had to get a lot of their nutrients specifically from sweet potatoes. And when you look at some of the studies I referenced during that podcast episode of epigenetics, and you looked at those people who were exposed to famine during World War II due to different blockades and the war and things like that, but then later were exposed to an abundance of food, what happened is what they think in these kids that went through this is that their initial genes turn on some survival instincts to live during famines, but then when they were exposed to that abundance of food, they ate maybe what we consider to be normal amounts of food, but it led to them becoming more obese, have more type 2 diabetes, more heart disease, and those kind of things. Whereas people who were exposed to famine during World War II and then afterwards still had some famine or limited food, like in the USSR, they didn't experience that. So what if here in Okinawa, what we're seeing is these people, their main source, their main crop was sweet potatoes. They ate sweet potatoes all the time. That was where their main nutrients were from. They weren't really eating much meat at all. And they had genes turned on in their body to help them survive this. But once World War II came around, they didn't really continue to eat sweet potatoes as much as what they're saying in the book, but they didn't just then start devouring McDonald's or eating huge amounts of food. They kept their food simple. You know, miso soup and vegetables for breakfast. I mean, who here has miso soup and vegetables for breakfast? Probably not many of you. But it was they still kept their quantity small. They still talk about not eating a lot. So they would say the term is called hara hachibu, meaning eat until you're 80% full. And this was something that's been passed down in their culture for generations. And they recognized that even when you're eating, your body doesn't recognize you're full until about 15, 20 minutes later. And so if you eat until you're 80% full, most likely you are full, but your body hasn't recognized it yet. So they say this before their meals. They say hara hachibu, and then they eat. So they remind themselves like, hey, don't overindulge here. Appreciate what you have. Take your time. Enjoy the food, but don't overdo it. And that's something I've actually started trying to do, and I don't do it great all the time. I know I need to do it better, but I'm taking steps toward it, and I think that's something that we can easily do. I think we all recognize that sometimes we just overindulge, depending on what the food is or the drink is, and we can easily change our diets and our routines just by doing something like that, teaching your kids to do that, teaching them to pace themselves when they're, you know, eating dinner or having a snack or whatever it is. And so I know for me, I plan on implementing that in my life. Hopefully, I can maybe teach my kids to implement that in their lives. I don't know if they're really that interested, although they're kind of picky anyway, so maybe it won't be too difficult. But that is definitely a change that we can make. Now, one of the interesting things too with these centenarians is, like I said before, they're more independent. They take care of themselves. And one of that reasons is most likely due to the fact that they have these routines where they're constantly getting up, getting down, going to tend their gardens, getting down and praying and all these things. And so their daily routine is involving movement, and that's allowing their body to stay able to get up, get down, not get stuck in a position, not be able to just be immobile in a chair or something like that, like we tend to see in the elderly who are really stuck at their elderly homes or stuck in their own homes, but everybody's doing everything for them. They're not forced to move anymore, and their body starts to kind of shut down a little bit. And so I think that's something too. You know, we talk about their routines with praying to the family shrine and going out to the garden and having their ikigai, their purpose, and their you know, their routines of saying harachibu and all these things too. There's all these different routines that they have in Okinawa that really brings all of these helpful life needs into their daily routines to be able to thrive and live longer and healthier. And again, I think this is something where we all need to recognize what our daily routines are and how are we helping that or not helping that. So what's your eating habits like? Are you eating till 80% full? Or are you eating till 120% full? That's a difference. Are you getting along with your family? Are you appreciating your family? Do you feel like you have a sense of purpose in your life? Is there a reason for you to get up every day? And if there is, that's great. You should recognize it. If there isn't, or you can't really put your finger on it, you need to search for that and kind of come up with, you know, what is that purpose for you? And then the other thing too is, you know, incorporating movement into your day every day. You know, some people are stuck in an office every day and you're just stuck sitting there, not doing anything. And you need to include this movement into your daily life to allow your body to continue to thrive like you want it to. So these are all thoughts that you can have and things that you can work on just based on this one blue zone in Okinawa. And I hope you can take some of that home with you for that. Now, the other thing we're going to change to now is we're going to look at Loma Linda. Now, this is in California, United States. And Loma Linda is basically like a Seventh-day Adventist kind of region where you have a lot of people who are Seventh-day Adventists. And they're a really interesting population to study for these blue zones because, number one, yes, they live longer and healthier than most of the Americans. But that a lot of it is based on the fact that they live their lives very biblically. So they focus on what the Bible says about eating certain foods and don't drink alcohol and don't do this, don't do that. And, you know, some of us may look at it and say, well, they live really sheltered lives, but these people are living very long, healthy lives, very happy lives. They have a sense of purpose in their days. And it's been such an, you know, an interesting thing for many scientists out there that they've done multiple health studies specifically on the Adventists. And so it's called the AHS-1, and now they're doing the AHS-2. I haven't looked to see if those results are all out there yet, but that's basically the Adventist health studies. And it compares what do these Adventists do on a daily basis and how does it affect their lives, their longevity, their health compared to the normal U.S. population. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting with the Seventh-day Adventists is because they follow biblical teachings with their eating, none of them eat pork. And if you've listened in, like today, Okinawans, they eat mainly pork. And people in Nicoya and Sardinia, they eat a lot of pork. Now, Sardinia, they'll do some beef, and so will Nicoya as well. But, you know, pork's not the magic answer here. So don't, you know, I've said pork a lot. That doesn't mean go out and buy a pork farm or something like that, guys. Because here, the Seventh-day Adventists, they don't really eat pork because it's considered an unclean animal based on how you interpret certain biblical texts. And so, and actually, most of them don't eat any meat. And if they do, it's a side meal, and it's only on occasion. And so, again, we see a lot of focus on a vegetable and fruit heavy diet. Very rarely are they getting meats, if at all. And then they looked at these Adventist health studies. One interesting topic they said was if you looked at a 30-year-old Adventist male, they live 7 years longer than the average California male. I mean, that's almost a decade of life. If that Adventist, the 30-year-old, is a vegetarian, he lived 9 years longer than the average California male. So again, you're getting years added on to life just by changing your diet. Now, when I say adding on years of life, I don't mean, again, that you can create life and create years. When I talked back during the first episode of the series, you know, they recognize that there is no break when it comes to living longer and healthier lives. There's no break to aging. There's just slowing down the acceleration. So maybe these vegetarian diets are slowing down the acceleration of life, which is allowing them to live longer. Now, they saw a similar increase in life expectancy in women, just not as much as men. It was 4 years for women who were not vegetarians, but Seventh-day Adventists, and 6 years if they were vegetarians. So not as much of a change. Again, there though, we see that I think women just, their bodies tend to be hardier in terms of living longer and healthier compared to men. And we see that with population studies all over the world. That's nothing new. But here as a man, and I'm talking to you dads, if you're making these dietary changes, you may potentially get to live longer. So that's very interesting. Now, when you look at proteins, you might be saying, okay, these guys don't eat any meats at all. What do we do about protein? Yes, I could eat beans, but I don't want to eat beans all the time. But nuts are a big part of the diets for the Seventh-day Adventists. And they eat nuts pretty much on a regular basis. And it doesn't matter what kind of nut it is. They're eating all kinds of nuts. And one study that actually looked at the Adventists is that if you took an Adventist who had nuts at least 5 days out of the week, led to half the risk for heart disease than those Adventists who didn't eat nuts 5 days of the week. So half the risk of heart disease just by eating nuts. And that's where you start to see some of these recommendations on eating nuts come from. Now, again, that doesn't mean go out there and eat a whole can of nuts every day. You have to be reasonable in your sizes and your portions and those kind of things. And so, but again, it's these dietary changes that we see that are maybe giving us some beneficial changes in our everyday lives. Another thing that's really simple to do is increase your water intake. And what they found with these Seventh-day Adventists is that if you drank 5 to 6 glasses of water a day, they had a 60 to 70% decrease in heart attack rates based on all these AHS studies. And that's, I mean, how simple is that? Drink some more water. I mean, to be honest, we talk about that on a daily basis in my office with kids and even their parents. How much water should you be drinking? Should you do this? Should you do that? Most kids only drink, 2-3 glasses of water a day if they're not being encouraged to do so otherwise. And so that is another lifestyle change you can make to increase your life expectancy or potentially decrease your risk for certain types of complications. So if you're not drinking 5 to 6 glasses of water a day, at least, you better start doing it now. And when they looked at the studies from these AHS studies, they came up with a few kind of concepts like, if you do this change, you will add this number of years to your life. And maybe it's all kind of whatever, it's junk maybe if you want to think about it that way. But I think it's interesting to look at, so I'm going to read it to you. One of the things they said is that if you decide to become a vegetarian and change to being a vegetarian, you may buy yourself an extra 2 years of life, which 2 years isn't something, you know, abnormal. I mean, it may not sound like a lot. Maybe some of you are like, I'm not willing to give up my meat for 2 years of life. And if not, hey, that's cool. Totally your choice. Maybe longer, depending on if it adds heart attack risk or other things. But just reading you the data here. Another thing was that if you're the nut eaters, also added 2 years to their life expectancy. Obviously, if you're a smoker, really drops your ability to live longer. So you got to watch that. Physical activity, if you had moderate physical activity on a daily basis, that would increase your life expectancy by a couple of years. And again, maintaining a fairly normal body weight for your height was also something that seemed to add several years to your life overall. So are you going to go out and make all these changes right now? Probably not. But it's, again, these studies utilizing a blue zone in our own country are really helpful to look at. And they're continuing to do more studies on this population and how they compare to the United States. But when you look at all these locations in general, they have a lot of things in common and some things not in common. And so you have to take the information, not so much with a grain of salt, but you have to take it and see, how can I apply this to my daily life to potentially make myself healthier and my kids healthier? So, you know, today we talked about Okinawa, we talked about Loma Linda, some similarities there, some differences there. I guess the one thing I didn't say about Loma Linda, again, too, obviously, Seventh-day Adventists, very focused on their beliefs, on their Christianity, and on the using the Bible and talking about God. They absolutely embrace the Sabbath, so they have a day of the week. It's devoted to family, devoted to God. You're not working. You're not stressing. You're taking stress off your life every time. You have something to look forward to every week. And so instead of being somebody who's, you know, waiting for Christmas to come around the corner and or you're waiting for summer vacation to come around the corner, every week you get something to look forward to. And they have this, and it relieves stress from their body. It gives them excitement. It gives them happiness and joy. And so that's another thing with this population in Loma Linda is, you know, the belief structure and the routines of that, the decrease in stress from it. And I think all of that has a really big, important role in living longer. So I hope you guys got something out of that topic. I know there's a lot of talk there about maybe some life changes that you're not willing to make, like not eating any meat or, you know, changing up certain habits or routines. And I totally get that. I'm not saying you have to do all these changes. The point of really this book and these topics is looking at your life and deciding, okay, what can I do now to help me live a longer, healthier life? How can I change my habits or my routines so that my kids can kind of mimic me, and then maybe they get a chance of having a longer, healthier life. Maybe I've already screwed myself up and I'm a lost cause, but my kids are not, and I want them to be healthier and live longer. So, you know, depending on what you think about this, I'd love to hear your comments. You know, send me an email. I'm at imperfectdadmd@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts on these things. If you're getting anything out of these shows, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. You know, after this next week, I'm going to wrap this up next week. But after that, we're getting back straight into lots of interviews with other dad doctors and getting to talk to them and get their life experiences. So if you're missing that, I promise you it's coming back. This was just a July series on our bodies and trying to find ways to become a little bit healthier. All right. One last thing before we go, guys. Remember Advice Media? Don't forget to schedule a consult with them to receive a $60 gift card and strategic insight on what your current digital marketing is doing or not doing for you. Contact Advice Media at drpodcastnetwork.com/advicemedia. Again, that's drpodcastnetwork.com/advicemedia. Again, guys, thanks for listening this week. And if you typically catch my Friday review shows, this week I'm talking all about the power of the yam, because we talked about sweet potatoes with Okinawa, so it felt fitting, and you'll see what I mean by that. So hopefully I'll catch you then. If not, I'll catch you next Wednesday for the last part of Blue Zones. And just remember, embrace those imperfections. We'll see you next time.
My dad, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, is a pediatrician, father, and husband. The information provided in this podcast is not meant to be medical advice and is for your education and entertainment only.